Reading from the book of Malachi. Thus says the Lord God, See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Candlemas is one of the oldest feasts in the Christian liturgical calendar. It falls 40 days after Christmas Day, and the time when we look back over the Christmas season. We put away the crib and we look towards Lent. And then, as we look towards Lent, we journey to that glorious Easter day. Candlemas, in Greek terminology, is hyperpanti. I might not have pronounced that right, but to you Greek scholars, apologies. But either way, it means the encounter. Candlemas is also known as the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Following the birth of her son and being ritually unclean and housebound for 40 days, a mother could then, back then, make her way to the temple to offer a lamb or a turtle dove to the priest, who will make atonement for her, from where she will then present her son to the temple. Another feast of the meeting of the Lord. This follows the tradition where the prophecies from the prophets, especially Isaiah, who prophesied that a virgin would give birth, and that was recognized by Simeon in Jesus. The Messiah, the light of the world, had come, the one that he'd been praying for all his life. That is the feast of the meeting of the Lord. But actually, this old wise man, Simeon, wasn't a priest, and Anna and Mary were women. So actually, this sounds really sacred and holy, and it is. But this faithful act of recognition and honor of the Messiah took place in the outer temple, where the marginalized, the ordinary, the excluded come with extraordinary faith and hope. It's not the holy of holy of places. It's a place where all will meet. And it's almost a flat line for God's people rather than their status. They are all, including ourselves, included in God's light and love. So that is the holy summary of Candlemas, the one that touches our hearts and gives us a sense of belonging to such a much bigger, bigger picture and richer story. It gives us promise of hope and salvation, which is peace, isn't it? For each other and for the world. As a church, we reflect on a world in darkness, and we trust in the promise of the light of a new beginning, light breaking through into the world, into the darkness, through Christ, about letting go of the old covenant, of the curses, along with the blessings and the rules and regulations. We enter into the hope of a church for all, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And indeed, we symbolize that with the warm glow of our candles, our church and our home candles. At baptism, we're told to take the glow of our baptism candle out into the world for light to see us through, and to also be a light to others. But actually, Candlemas is also one of those feasts where Christian teaching meets folklore and superstition. It's creating an interesting take on the incarnational faith that we are, that we're on the ground and we almost see God taking things of the world, folklore, superstition, traditions, pagan festivals, if you like, of the world, bringing them in to the heart of church, the heart of Jesus Christ, refining them, spiritualizing them with his Holy Spirit, and returning these things and people sometimes back into the world to be that spiritual light of the world, a symbol of God's heavenly grace. Listen to this. A Candlemas poem tells us that if Candlemas be fair and bright, winter will have another fight. If Candlemas brings cloud and rain, winter won't come again. So we pray for no rain today. And as I said earlier, snowdrops become Candlemas bells, and we're encouraged to have a pot of them in our homes to bless our home. And others see the eve of the 2nd of February as that astronomical midpoint, or on the full moon closes up the first door of spring. But whether it be through the lens of spirituality or earthly preparations for spring, this time is about watching and waiting. Watching and waiting and waiting and watching. It calls for patient waiting with trust that all will be well. We can sometimes see waiting as a negative thing, can't we? We're waiting for a bus and we're late. We're waiting in that queue and the till rolls run out in the shops. We're waiting for that letter. We get impatient when we're expecting something at a certain time. We want our own timing. But there's also a positive side about waiting, isn't there? We wait for a child to be born, or practicing something, and we wait to become more refined at what we're doing and that moment where we've accomplished it. There's a trying side of waiting. Waiting for medical results, exam results, news of a poorly loved one. Waiting for COVID to be over. Waiting for lockdown to be over and a lighter way restored. This kind of trying waiting can paralyze us, can't it? We need an anchor to hang on to cling on to get us through that time. But there's another waiting, an attentive side, a patiently quiet, prayerful, trusting side, resting in the promise that God will bring the light of the world through Jesus. It will break through the darkness in the end. And in this kind of waiting, we cultivate a faithful skill at it by letting God lead us to that time and that place where we will arrive at that time and that place of peace much calmer. We won't be looking back saying, "What was that all that panic about?" I've done that quite a few times. I don't know about you. But we might want to ask and reflect to ourselves, are we watching and waiting, secure in the light and all that it represents? Are we? To what extent has the birth of Jesus impacted on our own inner journeys of life and faith, of trust and doubt? Has it taken you deeper, closer, so that you catch glimpses of that love and that grace of God through Jesus? That you are dazzled by his light? In this time, as we prepare for the Lenten journey, we do have a chance to open up the darker areas of our lives, the more vulnerable places, the scared places, the sad places. We bring them before the cross. We bring them before the feet of a Lord of light. And we ask for help to find healing, peace, and grace to be resilient and endure our trials. We have a chance to sit in the COVID darkness and trust the light of the world. Trust that it will draw us on to brighter days. We have a chance to do this. In our weakness is our strength. It might not be something that you would go down the pub and say when someone asks you how you are. Well, actually, I feel broken, I feel lost, I feel in the dark. But that is something that you can say to your fellowship of church, your family, your friends who understand and get it, who share your faith, even in the doubts. And more especially, you bring it to your Lord God, who loves you beyond measure and wants to soothe you, to soothe me, wants to soothe the world. In faith, we have that chance. St. Ephrem the Syrian wrote in the 4th century that Simeon was able to carry in his weak arms the very majesty that created things cannot endure. So he knew that he himself was invisibly being lifted up, strengthened by the all-prevailing power of the Son of God himself. So whatever we're waiting for, we can wait as Simeon waited. We can cradle the child Jesus into our arms and our hearts, and we can know that in our watching and waiting, we aren't alone. We will be lifted up and strengthened. And God is with us. He will refine us. And by drawing close to him, we will see that as Jesus was presented into the temple, we can present ourselves to him, our living temple, through the Holy Spirit, and we can meet in prayer, our symbolic music, our prayers, and our lighting of our candles, and our offering to him, ourselves, to ask him to lighten the heart of us and the world, and then take the heart of us, our church, and the world, knowing that it is blessed by God and is centered through Jesus, so it can be a blessing for everyone, wherever they are. We pray. Dear God, may we be dazzled by the light of your Son, showing us the way to live out our own watching and waiting, in trust and faith that in the light and in the dark, you are there with us always. Amen. Amen.